Good morning. Jesus hears that Lazarus, his friend, is ill, and then he doesn't go. He doesn't go to help him. He waits a couple of days. And then when they do leave, Jesus tells the disciples, "Lazarus has died, and I'm glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe." This doesn't seem like the ordinary way we would think we would want to treat our friends. Oh, you hear somebody sick and then you just stay home for a couple days, don't check in. Doesn't seem great. Jesus, who is God, is doing this for a particular reason, that he might show his glory, even through something as powerful, as evil, as somebody's death. How could God do something like that? Work good out of evil? God never chooses what's evil. He never wills evil in the main way that we mean God's will. God shows his power in that he can work, even through evil, to bring about good. How could he do that? We might look no further than an example of how God does this than St. Patrick, whom we celebrate today, in, at least on the liturgical calendar. I see some green out there. So St. Patrick was born in 387, not long after Christianity became legal in the Roman Empire. He lived in Britain, which was part of the Roman Empire. And he was raised Christian, but not particularly faithful, just kind of in a sort of cultural way. And when he was 14, he was kidnapped by pirates and enslaved. Often when we see things that are evil, right, or unfortunate happen to people, maybe all of us have said this at some point or heard it said, everything happens for a reason. I understand why people say that, but it's not really a Christian perspective to say everything happens for a reason, right? Because evil is unreasonable. And sometimes evil things happen because evil is real. I would recommend, if you have any friends who, as teenagers, get kidnapped by pirates and enslaved, not to say to them, "Don't worry, everything happens for a reason." So Patrick was enslaved for 6 years after he was taken to Ireland, where he served as a slave. And when he was 20, he had a chance to escape and go home to Britain. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but if I was St. Patrick, that would be the end of the story. Great, did my time, I'm back home, we're all good. Gonna live my life. And yet, St. Patrick experienced, actually through several supernatural dreams that he had, that he was being called back to the place that had enslaved him. What had happened is that during the time he was enslaved, this desperate situation had caused him to call more intentionally to deepen his relationship with God, whom he had sort of heard about, but he never really lived a relationship with. During his time in slavery, he began to pray more, to seek God more intentionally, and this became the way that he was able to live throughout this horrible situation. Ireland at the time was completely pagan. There were no Christians there. And he had this sense, this call from God, that he was being brought back. He was being asked to go back to this people that had enslaved him and bring them the gospel. So he sought to be ordained. He was ordained as a priest and then sent by a bishop in England to go and serve in Ireland, where he quickly did a great job of making a lot of enemies. Because people were pagans. They believed in these kind of dark and nebulous cosmic forces that had power over their lives, evil forces, and they didn't want those evil forces to be disrupted. These evil forces had people who were really dedicated to them, and Patrick challenged them openly by miracles and by simply the proclamation of the gospel. The reality that God is a communion, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that the Son became flesh and offered his life for us. There are a lot of stories that we tell If you put them all together, the accounts of his life say that he raised 33 different people from the dead while he was in Ireland. He was a powerful man, full of the Holy Spirit. But the upshot of all of it is that people became Catholic. Because they heard courageously proclaimed the good news that God is real and he is alive. Did God want Patrick to be enslaved? No. Does God want slavery? No. Can he work something good out of it? Oh, yeah. This is what happens through the death of Lazarus. Maybe Jesus waits in part because he knows that once he does this, once he raises Lazarus from the dead, there's no going back. And in fact, just after the passage that we read in the following verses, it becomes clear that once the people around Jesus realize that he has power even over death, that's when people say, this guy has got to go. The Sunday that we celebrate today in the liturgical calendar, sometimes it's called Passion Sunday. It's the beginning of a time called Passion Time, when we prepare to enter more deeply into Christ's Passion, which we'll commemorate next Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then on Good Friday. Jesus is entering into his suffering now. What he says to us, whatever the grave is in our life, whatever the dark place is that we don't want exposed, whose stone we don't want rolled away, Jesus speaks into it the words that he speaks over Lazarus's dead body. He says, come out. Jesus wants to bring it, our lives, our culture, into the light, to raise it from the dead and heal it. In a particular way, Lily, Kim, this is what God will do in you and through you in the sacraments you'll receive 13 days. So we might, as we approach the Eucharist today, make our own the words that Martha says to Jesus. We might think about this when we come up the aisle to receive the Eucharist, or preparing to receive the Eucharist, desiring to receive the Eucharist. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Not the one who just did come into the world a long time ago, but the one who is coming into the world today.